All right. Next and last victim, Amalia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's all yours, Amalia.
thank you. So the budget request for ONI this year we submitted a neutral budget. The new programs that we added were those that were requested by council, marijuana being one of them. We put in a one-time ad package request of $440,000. We won't know for sure until probably May what the opportunities are for us to actually get the costs covered by the revenues of the program. So we'll keep you posted on that. The one note I want to make about that request is that the livability program manager is a necessity for the programs, regardless of whether marijuana is in our portfolio or not. We had noise added last year together with graffiti and liquor and mediation. It's just too much for our business operations supervisor to also manage those programs, which require a lot of oversight. So I just want to make that note that even if we end up, for some reason, not funding marijuana positions, that livability program manager is a need for ONI ongoing. And then we also added the transfer of the New Portlanders program from the Office of Equity and Human Rights, which has a neutral budget impact. It has no budget impact, more of a technicality. Part of the reason why there was no request for additional funding in our budget this year is because our partners and through our budget advisory committee strongly recommended to us that we not put in a request for additional monies for any partners at the expense of any other programs or partners. Right now, any significant contribution of money or offset offered would mean staff positions being put on the line. And our back did not want that to happen even on paper. So we did not submit any requests. However, in the narrative, we did submit what we call the right budget for ONI under the current circumstances. And what that is $150,000 going towards our diversity and civic leadership partners, which would help allow them to potentially hire some part-time staff to help supplement the work that they're currently doing. In addition to that, $30,000 to bring our neighborhood small grants program to the lowest viable level. So last year we had $70,000 added to the budget for that purpose. And two of the seven coalitions did not participate because there wasn't enough money. So they bowed out and will participate this coming year. So the additional $30,000 would bring that to the minimum viable level. And then $10,000 to fill the Multnomah Youth Commission materials and services gap. That funding goes towards supporting the development of the youth on the commission, including retreats and transportation and those kinds of things. And then $10,000 to do leadership development with the disability communities through the Connecting Communities Coalition. So that comes to $200,000, and that was our request for the right budget, which wasn't technically in our budget request because of that offset requirement. I have with me Linda Castillo. She is part of our DCL program and part of our budget advisory committee, and she will be talking to you a little bit about the process and that budget request.
Good afternoon. We've had quite a busy year actually looking at a variety of opportunities of how to thoughtfully think about the analysis of equity within our programs and in the community. And we've also been talking a lot about the different types of work that we do in the community and what kinds of things that we offer. And we're all pretty aware that our community is growing in terms of its demographics and it's changing in terms of the scope and the face of the community that we serve. You're all aware of the unsettling profiles and some of the work that was done there and some of the, you know, lessons that we learned from some of the difficulties in our government and serving our community. We've also had an opportunity to see that we have a fastest growing community in the Latino population and the Asia Pacific Islander community, very diverse in terms of language. And so we've had an opportunity as a diverse civic leadership work group to really talk about these issues and how they're impacting our community. And in that, really talking about how we can really begin to serve our community in a better way and thinking very thoughtfully about just different models that might be available to us to serve our community in a better way. We've had some discussions about some of the models, such as the Sun School model and what they're looking at in terms of cultural competency, cultural role responsiveness to our different communities, a better opportunity to talk about the range of community engagement processes and services that we can offer, and where are the gaps currently that we have in terms of serving our community. I think one of the things that we've also had an opportunity to learn is that we've been looking at the different funding strategies and what would be possible, and really also getting very sensitized to the fact with the level of funding that we have at this point, it only allows us to do so much. But even given that, we find that we're delivering an amazing amount of services out in the community. We're offering culturally competent leadership programming for the grassroots folks that we are serving in our academies, that we're providing a lot of services to different bureaus, whether it's Parks and Rec, it's housing, certainly to ONI, and really providing a variety of services to those communities. We're also learning that we are doing a great deal in terms of community engagement with our partners. We're doing a lot of work, for example, Latino Network with Cully, and working with NEA in some of the work out in the community as well. So in many respects, a lot of the work that we do, there's a lot of return on investment in terms of what we do. But we really feel with increased funding, what we would find would happen, we would be able to really have a greater impact with our community. Although we're able to involve our community in a variety of civic engagement opportunities, and we find that folks, for example, who would come into our programs perhaps go on to participate in community committees and a variety of other things. They're also participating in such programs as community health worker programs. So there's a growth and promotion in terms of the community as well. But what we would find with additional funding is that we would be able to follow these folks a bit more, provide a lot more reinforcement in terms of the services and support that they're providing out in the community, and be able to engage them with a whole many more civic engagement opportunities out in the community. So with that additional funding, we would just be able to explode that much more, and I think also be able to provide a lot more cultural expertise and resources to the various bureaus and a lot of our other community partners as well. I think what we've also learned in our work together is that the neighborhood associations and the coalitions and ourselves, we've really been thinking together about creatively how can we expand our programs to better serve our communities, and really thought about perhaps, like for example, Latino Network working with its affinity communities out there, such as VOS, and really expanding some programming together, looking at perhaps how we could scaffold or stagger some of our programs so that we can draw more communities in and serve them as well. So we've been really creatively thinking about that, and I think we have this next year to really kind of flesh that out a bit more and provide more details. And I think we really just have a wonderful opportunity just to continue to increase and grow the core of individuals that we have in our community to participate much more fully. And we know we're not done, because those folks that we see out in our community, we don't see fully participating completely in government, whether in the city or in the county, or in any other committees that we see. So, you know, we'll be closer to our mark when we start to see some of those changes in our community. Thank you.
Comments, suggestions?
So I don't see anywhere the funding for the mental health specialist in the administrative position for the Community Oversight Advisory Board.
Yes. Again, because of the offset requirement this year, we got direction from the mayor's office that those positions would be in his requested budget. as opposed to in his proposed budget as opposed to our requested budget. So we didn't have to offer offsets from our existing programs.
But I didn't see them in special appropriations either, whereas the East Portland Action Plan was in special appropriations. So
special appropriations to be in the proposed budget.
Well, they need to be somewhere, right?
Yeah, they will be. But the council, the reason for drawing that line in my mind was this was a council directive to the Bureau rather than a proposal from the Bureau. So
I understand why it's not in ONIs. The other things that were council directives showed up under special appropriations, and that those two positions didn't.
Right.
So I was just concerned about that.
I don't believe it should be in special appropriations. I believe it should be in the Bureau budget.
Yeah. But the East Portland Action Plan was designated for the Bureau, but in special appropriations.
Was.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I wasn't quite following that. Could you repeat what's going on? I mean, I was going to ask about the East Portland Action Plan because it isn't in this budget, although it is mentioned. And it was brought up earlier in this process,
right,
saying, don't worry about it, it'll be fine.
Right. So some of the things that we have been working on in terms of transitioning things out of one time and into ongoing,
mm-hmm,
we accomplished in the last budget. More, I hope we accomplish in this budget. And then I think there's a consensus of the council that the East Portland Action Plan funding needs to continue. It didn't need to be placed in the proposed budget because that's coming from the Bureau. Again, this is sort of the rough justice approach I took to these issues this early in the budget process before I produced the mayor's proposed budget was, it's not on you, Amalia, or any other Bureau director to come forward with a package and an offset for something that we, the council, are saying, this is something we plan to do. So that was the approach, or that is the approach.
Right, and I keep hearing you say that you are planning to do it.
Yes.
And I did see it in the that one category, the special.
The mayor's proposed budget, yes, is at this point just a gleam in my eye and a list of items.
Okay. And Katie, even perhaps more important, you have a majority of the council,
yeah,
that have said publicly they will fund it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the off chance the mayor omits it in his mayor proposed, it will be reinstated.
That would be a really dumb thing for the mayor to do. So, other comments or questions, Dante?
Just a comment for Amalia, and everybody actually, that in looking at certainly your equity document and how you've done what you do, ONI is a model for how to engage public participation. It's a model in how to use a Bureau Advisory Committee, and I just wanted to state that and commend you for the work and the engagement of everybody sitting in this room who are just a small number of your BAC and the community that you engage with on a regular basis.
Thank you.
So I just had a question that was brought to my mind by what you were just saying. So it made me wonder, how many other council directives are there that are going to end up, you think, in the mayor's proposed budget that won't be discussed here because they're not going to be in the budget of the agencies, and thus they didn't have to do an offset for them. So, I mean, there are things that are maybe planned but won't be discussed.
Not because anyone's trying to hide.
No, motives.
Well, let me finish my sentence. But because we have a whole bunch of additional general fund resource this time, I think there'll be a lot of council directives that show up in the mayor's proposed budget that weren't proposed by a Bureau because the Bureaus didn't propose that we'd have $30 million in additional spending. So this one will be a little unusual that way compared to the last couple of budgets because we were either cutting or holding the line this time.
And this is good.
Yeah, great problem to have. But it also means that there's sort of more, there's more on my shoulders in terms of trying to compose that budget to reflect council direction and priorities.
What?
And to sort of pick up the items like this EPAP commitment that one way or another, you know, we've indicated at least a majority, if not a consensus, the council said, oh, yes, we want to do that if we can.
So I would just want to add that, I mean, I think that you have been very inclusive of your budget advisors when it comes to that process. And it doesn't take place here. It takes place later. And I'm hoping that we will see all that stuff at that point and we'll be able to weigh in because. Okay.
Right.
All right, thanks.
Assuming that you continue to
yes. Gluttons for punishment.
So, Mayor, are you suggesting that we might have a new stuff budget work session?
Well, that would be something new under the sun. Excuse me. I'll try to not talk too much. I do want to say one anecdote to follow up on Dante's comment, which is just fascinating to me. You know, my wife runs this program at Portland State called First Stop Portland. It's all these delegations that come to study the city. And when she started doing it, like 5 years ago, the first groups were domestic groups coming to Portland, and that's almost been completely changed to international groups. And the first groups were coming to study transportation and land use, and now an increasing percentage are coming to study citizen engagement, and she just had a group here last week from Sweden, particularly on this subject, and I think Amalia spoke with them, of how do you engage new Portlanders, or in their case, new Gothenburgers. You know, how do you engage a much more diverse community in civic life? And so it's just fascinating to watch us become a laboratory for those civic issues and ideas and, you know, the interchange of good practices among cities. It used to be they all came here to look at light rail. Now they're coming here to look at equity and inclusion. And I think that's it's a thumbs up to the people in our city family that are doing that work. Two, it's a thumbs up to the people in the community that are doing that work. And three, it's just a fascinating role that Portland now is playing. So for what it's worth, that report from the front kind of indicates the quality of the work that's being done and the fact that, once again, we're being a leader.
Well, and if I might add, we were invited by the Harvard Kennedy School to submit information about the DCL program for their Innovations in American Government Award. And of a few thousand nominations, we've moved on to the next round for consideration. So that's kind of exciting.
So that's top 100?
Top 100, yeah, nationally.
Which is great. I have two comments. One regarding the marijuana program. Presumably, once it gets going and if we find that we get boatloads of money from it, then we could then bring back maybe we could give back part of the funding for a position. So you'd want to monitor it. Having implemented the tree code these past 3 months, I would encourage my colleagues on the council to fund this with adequate staffing to start off with. It's really challenging to say, well, let's see how it goes when you have a new program. Yes. Second of all, as Amalia pointed out, one of the two positions now that the City Budget Office has proposed funding is a supervisor position to coordinate all of those really intensive citizen involvement, and people get very upset about all of those.
Yes.
Complicated, I think, is a good word for it. Thank you. So to have only one person helping with the staff work in addition to the supervisor, I think, is not likely to work out well. So I just encourage you to that. Second, Commissioner Novick has a request under special appropriations for fund $98,000 for funding for Apano, and I wanted to get both of your comments on whether you support that request.
So,
do you want me to start? Or do you want to
go ahead and start.
So we're really thrilled that Apano is so excited about becoming a part of our program. And through their advocacy last year, in last year's budget process, we were granted by the mayor and council money to hire a consultant to help us talk about funding equity and the structure, future structure of the DCL program. And so we are coming to the finish line of that process right now. In fact, our public comment period ends tomorrow. We have gotten some really great feedback about ways in which we might look at structuring the DCL program, because we have five partners, which we are invested in, similar to our seven coalition partners. They are not appropriately funded at the moment either. So we're looking, part of the discussion has been, what does the ideal sort of baseline parity budget look like for our DCL partners? When we look at all of the different community groups that are out there asking to be a part of the DCL program, Apano being one very vocal and very able potential partner, There's also the Coalition for Connecting Communities, the Russian Speaking Network, VOS, Right to Dream 2, among others, that have been interested in becoming partners through the DCL program. So the question that we get from the community is, so do you just continue to add partners and one day you have 100 DCL partners? Is that sustainable? So part of this year's work has been to really, as Linda had said earlier, get creative about what might that actually look like in a sustainable manner. So while we absolutely want to count APANO as part of our DCL program at some point and or these other partners, we would have to advocate for an open, transparent process for bringing new partners on board. And we would request a hold until we finish this process to figure out what the next logical steps would be. And what we're slated to do is to then come to you all with a request for next year's budget, because at that point we would have some more information about what the next steps would be and what to pilot.
And just to add to that, I would say we're really eager to have other partners join us because we know there's a tremendous need in our community to really serve as many of our community members as possible. We've also talked about finding some way to create some kind of assessment in terms of prioritizing these vulnerable communities and which ones we should begin to provide services to. And we've also recognized that we've all gone through a competitive process to do this, and we really feel that that type of template is important to have with everyone who participates. So we would, I guess we would ask that that be the same, that we would ask for any new group that would come through so that we can really truly assess the strengths of the assets that they offer and to be sure that they're supporting and serving the communities that we really feel need to be served at this time.
Just
And I would say that APANO has said to, I've met with them and through our back process when they did participate, that they would be more than happy to apply to an RFP. They feel confident that they would do well in that process. Probably true.
That's true. They also are not happy with the idea of going through another year without an opportunity to become a DCL partner. And it may be that there are other groups, such as the Russian Speaking Network and the Connecting Communities Network, that have as strong a claim. But it just seems to me that it looks like a glaring oversight that APANO isn't one of the partners now, and I'm loath to say that we will agree to go through another year when they won't be one of the partners.
So then maybe the request would be for $128,000 because there's $30,000 in the right budget for ONI for each of the five partners that already went through the application process several years ago. But that would be the right, if the council was to choose to say, yes, you can do a process to have one more partner, the number would be 128, right?
Well, yes, that would be the hope, because that would bring us a little bit closer to bringing our other DCL partners to funding parity.
Other questions, follow up? That's a good one. Anything else for this team? We're close to being on time and on budget. Har har. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
So we're back tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Keeping it rolling. Andrew?